voanews.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbil Yabaro, thank you again for tuning in and choosing The Voice of America.
Welcome to Straight Talk Africa. I'm Vincent McCorry, sitting in today for Shaka Sali. Today, we will take a look at the impact of the recent protests in Nigeria under the hashtag #EndSARS and the reaction from the administration in Abuja. Now, protests against police brutality in Nigeria erupted last October following excessive force by a unit known as the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, or SARS. The protests spread to several cities across the country, lasted for weeks, and garnered global attention. The Nigerian government has made reforms, including dissolving the police unit. But activists, academics, and human rights advocates say the fight for justice and sustainable change is far from over. VOA's Salem Solomon has more.
Lekki Toll Gate, a nondescript toll plaza on a busy Lagos highway, has become a rallying cry for Nigerians demanding police reform. After dark on October 20, eyewitnesses say security forces opened fire on protesters demonstrating against Nigeria's special anti-robbery squad known as SARS. According to Amnesty International, at least 12 people were killed at Lekki and a second location, though the government said two people died.
This place was a war zone. But it was one army fighting civilians. Unarmed civilians. Peaceful civilians. Civilians who were exercising their constitutional right.
Days of confrontation followed between protesters and police, the largest in more than a generation. The clashes left at least 51 civilians, 11 police officers, and 7 soldiers dead, according to government figures. The Nigerian government vowed investigations and reform. It disbanded the SARS unit, reassigned officers, and promised additional human rights training. There are several investigations underway looking into alleged police abuse of power. Officials in recent days admitted that the soldiers did have live rounds while at Lekki, but they say that forces did not fire into the crowd and acted with restraint.
At this point, it is important to say that the federal government is very satisfied with the role played by the security agencies, especially the military and the police, all through the EndSARS crisis. The security agents were professional and measured in their response. Even when their lives were at stake, they exercised uncommon restraint.
Rights groups say that the SARS unit, before it was disbanded, had been a symbol of excessive force.
This unit had been associated with egregious and systematic human rights abuses, including torture, extrajudicial execution, arbitrary detention. They were almost a law unto themselves and had been the focus of concern by the media as well as by domestic and international human rights groups for several years. And so when the announcement came that the unit was going to be disbanded, on the one hand, it represented a major step forward, but on the other hand, there was nothing else. And that triggered the protests that were linked to calls for systematic, comprehensive security sector reform and reform of the police.
Protesters say disbanding the SARS police unit was not enough. They are calling for lasting police reform at all levels, and they say their demands are not being met. There are allegations that Nigeria's security forces continue to use heavy-handed tactics against members of the public and have done so for years. During last summer's COVID-19 lockdown, Nigeria's National Human Rights Commission found that security forces killed 18 people. Rights groups say the culture of police abuse is pervasive. In Africa's most populous nation, where the median age is 18, many of the protesters are young people. Analysts say their public dissent is likely to continue.
But one thing is clear, right? What is clear is that the youth in Nigeria are awake. right? They have decided that they have a voice, right? And that the government is going to hear their voice one way or the other.
Nigeria's attempt for reform is being closely watched in the United States, where policymakers have been instrumental in calling for reform and organizing the Nigerian diaspora to demand action from the international community. After protests spread throughout Nigeria in October, U.S. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, a Democrat from Texas, marched with her constituents in the Mickey Leland Federal Building in Houston to show solidarity with the Nigerian protesters.
They want a free, peaceful Nigeria, free of the killing of innocent persons. They're outraged by the violence, the burning that they've seen, the killing at the gate that they have had to experience. They had a video showing the outright shooting by military persons that would really break your heart, because you know that unarmed persons lost their life that night. Someone's young son or daughter.
Opal Demedi, a Nigerian-American human rights activist, says Nigeria must allow public dissent.
It is not tenable. The brutality that the protesters have been met with is not tenable. They had a right to assemble. They have a right to protest. And in many ways, it's their duty to protest when things have been so bad. When they've gotten to a certain point, you have no other choice.
As a Nigerian judicial panel continues its investigation into excessive force, 154 organizations from the world over have asked the International Criminal Court in The Hague to conduct its own probe. Salim Salomon, VOA News, Washington.
Well, thank you, Salim, for that report. Well, today we are including parts of the interview by Alhaj Lai Mohammed, the Minister of Information and Culture of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, who joined my colleague Peter Clote from the VOA studio in Abuja last week. He's joining me to talk about the recent protests in Nigeria. From New York, Dr. Yetunde Odbesan Omede, Professor of Political Science at Farmingdale State College. And from Abuja, Grace Alheri Abdu, Managing Editor of the Voice of America's House of Service. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Well, first, I would like to go to the minister's reaction to allegations that civilians were targeted during some protests by police and military.
They said fake news.
Right.
And the irresponsible use of social media contributed largely to the violence that was harvested shortly after the ENSAS protest was hijacked by hoodlums. Now, to start with, it's quite sad that in all the reportage, nobody has yet emphasized the fact that 37 police officers lost their lives to hoodlums, that six soldiers were killed by hoodlums, that 134 police stations were vandalized by hoodlums, that 164 police vehicles were burned by hoodlums, that over 234 public and private properties were destroyed by hoodlums, or that in this unprovoked violence, which hoodlums hijacked, that even properties belonging to young, struggling young men and women were destroyed, or that 81 government warehouses were looted. It appears that The CSOs, the media, have been very unfair in their reportage.
Well, let me come to you first, Dr. Yetunde. You've listened to the minister there, Minister Lai Mohammed. What do you make of his assertions?
He has to speak from a place of representing the government and trying to put them in the best light, given the situation. However, as you have to know his position. However, due to all of the footage that we have seen, we cannot, in a sense, challenge the video recording. We are in a new age where technology has been able to expose a lot of the issues that are going on in different countries around the world. And this is no different. We had DJ Switch, who was one of the people who raised the alarm through her phone recording about the protesters being peacefully, who were peacefully assembled, being shot by Nigerian army. We've heard different stories come out from the Nigerian army, from the government of Lagos, Governor of Lagos, saying different stories. But unfortunately, I think the issue here is that they truly need to understand the plight of the citizens that they are in charge to protect. Right? It is their fundamental right, their constitutional right, to peacefully assemble and to peacefully protest and bring light to the issues that are affecting everyday citizens in Nigeria. When that is met with excessive force, okay, which has been happening over the years, this is not an overnight situation. Many young people have been brutalized, have been illegally detained by SARS and by the police unit. Yeah. And they have the right to ask the government, what are you doing to protect our needs? As they are responsible to do. So although we understand that protests can get hijacked, I mean, that does happen. But at the same time, we need to look at the root causes of what even started the protest to begin with. And not addressing that, I think, is the biggest issue that we are seeing. And not being able to empathize and communicate the suffering of many who have lost their family members to police brutality, I think, is also an area that they have not done the best on.
Yeah, and you know, the minister called this unprovoked violence. So something that maybe I'd like you to kind of chime in on. But let me first ask, Grace, you've been in Nigeria for some time now, and, you know, the minister there talked about the media hasn't reported on, for example, how many police officers were killed. It talks about 37, six soldiers killed. It talks about government property being vandalized, government police vehicles being burned. What have you seen in the reporting locally of those events?
Well, I think it would be so unfair to the media for the minister to say that those instances, the killings that he mentioned in that interview, were not reported. If you would go on the internet, the good thing that is that now everything that is reported, you can easily Google and you'll find it. I believe that if he himself would go and check, you would find a lot of that report. And the media, it has been widely covered, it's still being covered. But the thing is, so long as you cover something that is not something that they are interested in, they just see the other side as either being underreported or overreported. The issue still remains, that issue of one thing I can tell you that both the protesters and the government agreed on is the fact that that protest was hijacked by hoodlum. You heard him say that himself. And the young man that I interviewed when I went to Lagos, the young man that was frontliner in this protest, the one that is the speaker, the spokesperson for End Protest, that is Temi Tote, who is also a member of the Lagos panel of investigation, said at first they were working with the RRS units of the police, making sure that anybody that was committing crime was arrested and handed over to the police until the hoodlums that they were claiming were brought by either politicians or people that were there to sabotage the protest, infiltrated them and started causing chaos.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, rights organizations have called on the Nigerian government to allow peaceful protests and release protesters who were arrested. Adote Akoye, Managing Director of Government Relations at Amnesty International, USA, alleges that the Nigerian government shut off short-circuit TV before the crackdown in Alosa.
Including in the most recent protest in Lekki and Alosa. where, again, nonviolent protests were met with great brutality. And in fact, in Alwasa, we found that there was credible evidence that there was efforts to shut off short-circuit TV that would have monitored how the police behaved, which indicates that they were planning a very brutal crackdown, and that's unfortunately what happened. So we continue to stick with the calls for the Nigerian government to respect the right to nonviolent protest, the Nigerian government to respect the individual rights of the protesters, for the protesters who've been arrested to be released, and also, of course, for the Nigerian government to engage in genuine, comprehensive security sector reform and accountability for the SARS unit members.
So did the Nigerian government shut off the CCTV? Let's listen to Nigeria's Minister of Information's response to the Human Rights Watch allegations.
The same CCTV that he claimed was shut down by government is the same CCTV that has been producing evidence before the panel in Lagos. And the same CCTV that the CNN is branding to be further evidence of killings at the toll gate. So, one, it is not correct that anybody shut down the CCTV. Two, the CCTV has been tendered in evidence, and there's nothing incriminating about the CCTV. Nothing has incriminated the soldiers, you know, on the so-called CCTV. You see, Peter, you just must appreciate the fact that fake news using social media as a preferred medium played a big role in helping the hoodlums and in aggravating the violence that followed the NSAS protest.
Well, Dr. Itunde, you see, the minister keeps coming back to the whole question of fake news. In your assessment, to what extent did actually fake news on social media exacerbate the situation such that now the focus became actually more under the hoodlums' activities and the destruction than the issues that were more critical to these demonstrations?
Well, it seems like we have extrapolated fake news from the United States all the way to Nigeria. And by categorizing everything under fake news, is just another way to negate the reality of the situation. And it's another way to downplay the reality of the situation. And the reality of the situation is, look, there was excessive force that was met to peaceful protesters who have a constitutional and human right law protecting them to peacefully assemble without being met with brute force. And when we cannot just speak that in layman terms, and when we cannot arrive to the assessment that the way that it was handled on October 20th was disproportionate in measures. And the fact of the matter is that another way to negate this story is by focusing on hoodlums, by focusing on protesters that came with the mission of trying to work and reform the government after crying out for so long that innocent people, young people who are the future of Nigeria, who have potential, who probably come from good families or struggling families that are just trying to make it, are either killed by excessive force, illegally detained, having their constitutional and human rights violated. That is not being discussed. How many mothers who have lost their child due to police brutality?
You know, Dr. Itunde, I get the sense that you feel that there's no compassion from government officials, like regardless of how violent this became, but there is that part of the human element, that these are people's children, these are fellow citizens, right? These are not enemies from some other country, right?
And we have to understand our place in the world. Nigeria needs to understand its place in the continent. And I think, you know, President Obama said one thing. He said, you know, if Nigeria does right, the whole of Africa would get it right. And the interesting thing is that I actually agree with him. Because if we are to lead in this type of situation, and this happens in many different countries, right? These type of controversies, these realities about issues in the government and how it's being handled. If we put on a leadership face and says, look, we know that we need to do right. We know that there are some areas in our policing, in our security apparatus that needs reform. We are willing to work with the Nigerian people. We apologize to the families who have lost their lives to police brutality. Nothing that we say can bring the life back of a loved one whose potential has been lost. At least some of that will fall on the ears of the Nigerian people. All they wanted was to be reassured that you hear me and you hear my cry and that you are willing to work towards making Nigeria better. Yeah. But instead, they were attacked. Instead, they were laced with fake media. Instead, many of the peaceful protesters were even detained for speaking out against the government. And that is also an issue that we need to look at. And I hope the Nigerian government also looks at that and making sure that they become that beacon of leadership that the continent needs, and most importantly, that their citizens need.
Okay, and we still have more of the minister. We'll see what he says about the actions they intend to take or they have already taken. Now, Grace, there were protests in the north of Nigeria and also the southern part of Nigeria. What was the difference between them and were they related?
Well, they are kind of related, but they were all focusing on issues that affect them directly. While the people in Lagos were protesting against police brutality, people in northern Nigeria were particularly protesting against the insecurity that they are facing, while South-South were protesting against economic issues and resource management. So they were all, and it may also interest you to know that this NSAS protest, while the people in Lagos were protesting against the SARS, the people in Borno State specifically, in the Northeast, were protesting, demanding that they allow the SARS unit to stay.
Well, on the protests now in the north and south, here's what Minister Lai Mohammed had to say in our interview.
And I can say that there's absolutely no correlation between the insecurity in the north and the NSAS protests. On the contrary, many youth organizations in the northern part of Nigeria refused to join the NSAS protest.
Well, there you go. The minister talks about, it talks about the difference between those protests, but it says many youth refuse to join the SARS. So, Dr. Yetunde, is this a perceived police brutality by SARS? Did it affect more people of the southern part of Nigeria than other parts of the country? And why is it that it did not resonate with the youths from other parts of Nigeria, especially the north?
We can't say that it did not resonate, because when we talk about insecurity, there are insecurity that happens in different categories, right? You have police brutality, you have terrorism, you have issues such as Boko Haram, and you have issues such as the herds killing and so forth. So when he says they're not correlated, he has to understand that this is the whole of the country. These are citizens that live in your country, regardless of the geopolitical zones, they are facing some form of insecurity, right? The insecurity may vary, but they are all facing some form of insecurity. For the north, we know that it's insecurity. We know that the borders are porous. We know that there is terrorism. We know that Boko Haram has also wreaked havoc. And even recently, from the massacre that happened, I believe it's in November 28th, with the 40 of the farmers who were killed. So insecurity is insecurity. And to say that none of them is connected or correlated means that you're not fully assessing the issues that are happening in different parts of Nigeria, not understanding that when there's a high level of insecurity in a country, there's a root cause to it. So for one area, it may be increased police brutality or police brutality. In another area, it may be terrorism, which just has access to that area. So it varies in nature, and it doesn't mean that one is more important or less important than the other. Every life, every Nigerian life is as important to who is in the north, who is in the south. And because some in the south may not have joined some of the NSARS protests, does not negate or does not undermine the plight of those who were protesting to end police brutality. And we have to understand that a lot of the protesters weren't only just protesting to end police brutality. They were protesting in advocacy for the police force, for higher salary, for change in their environmental stay, where their police barracks were in deplorable conditions. So they weren't just, you know, focusing on themselves. They were focusing on the fact that these are essential workers in our country. These people put their lives on the line to make sure that the country is safe. But if they're not getting paid a salary that they can sustain themselves and their families on, you then create an atmosphere where you have petty corruption, where they have to stop people in order to grease their pockets to supplement their income. So there are many root causes to what has really caused this whole issue to come about, and we need to address those root causes. And this is what many of the protesters were talking about. They looked at the well-roundedness of the issue, not the fact that, okay, police were using excessive force, but why were they using excessive force? Did they receive enough payment to support themselves? Is their living conditions adequate? Do they receive health care? All of these issues are lumped in one. So we have to also understand that as well.
And if I just stay with that again, Grace, you know, sometimes it's felt like citizens may fail also to sympathize with the real situation of the police and other military apparatus. Dr. Itunde has mentioned there that the protesters also want better conditions for the police and the army. Now, do you, as you've been there observing and reporting on security, does it seem like the security forces are also overwhelmed by violence, either from the terrorists or even from just, violent criminals? They themselves are victims of violence, too.
Well, they are rightly so. One of the people that I spoke with, and you know, there's a big divide between the citizens and the security operatives. You know, there's lack of trust. There's that fear that is instilled in the minds of people that is making them stay away from anything that has to do with security. And so there's that element of distrust among them. So, but honestly, what I have seen from the discussion that I had with some of them, as you know, I had that encounter with them, but part of the discussion that I had brought to fore the situation, the level of need that they have, particularly some of them were saying that there are times that they will be asked to be out on the field, and they will be there, and they will be on their own. They will have so many needs, but so to say, they are unable to get their needs met. You know, I'm sure you must have heard or seen reports of people saying that a lot of the money that is allocated to fight this Boko Haram or this insecurity that is affecting the northern part of Nigeria is being diverted, whether rightly so or we don't know, it's something that somebody might need to find out. So the people that I interviewed were talking about if they have this improvement, if there is that attention being paid to the police, and we had a town hall with the Minister for Police Affairs, who also rightly said that they are taking measures, and they said that if nothing else, this NSAS has opened their eyes to the needs, not only to improve the welfare of the police, but also to find a way to relate better, have a better relationship between the police and the citizenry.
Yeah, and indeed the welfare of the police is a big question all over the continent. Well, you're watching Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment, so don't go away.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.